Proverbs chapter number one, most of the Proverbs are written in couplets. And they contain a pair of parallel lines. And together these couplets form complete thoughts or wisdom truths. And this is what's called parallelism. And we see it all throughout the book of Proverbs, and it's essential to understand what parallelism is as we read the book of Proverbs. But it's essentially emphasizing key truths through repetition. And this creates, when you see it all through the book of Proverbs, there's a rhythmic pattern that's created, and when you take a truth from a couple of different angles, you say the same thing a different way. It helps you to remember it easier. But there are three types of parallelism, and the first one is called synthetic, and we're going to look at that one next week. Synthetic parallelism. The second type is called antithetical parallelism. Go to Proverbs 10. Keep your finger in Proverbs 1. But antithetical parallelism, it contrasts opposite thoughts. Proverbs chapter 10, watch these two opposite thoughts in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. What is the antithetical? What is the opposite? Wise son versus what? Foolish. So there you have it. And how about maketh a glad father? What's the opposite thought? The heaviness of his mother. You see that? There's two opposite thoughts. This is called antithetical parallelism. And now watch this word but. You see that? But a foolish son. That word but, when it shows up, that's the signal word. So most times in Proverbs, when that word but shows up, there's your key word that'll tell you this is an antithetical. This is an opposite that's coming up. And look at this. You have the first clause, a wise son maketh a glad father. That's a positive outcome of wisdom. That brings joy to the parent, right? And then you see the clear opposite in the second clause. It's the negative outcome of foolishness, which brings the sorrow to the parent. So that's the antithetical parallelism. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. So, okay, we get that. No profit there. Can't take that with you when you die. But, see it, there's that trigger word, that's the signal, but righteousness delivereth from death. Well, that's great profit. Yeah, okay, I've got Christ's righteousness, delivers me from death, so we get it. Look at verse 7. The memory of the just is blessed. See that signal word? But the name of the wicked shall rot. Just name versus a wicked name. Pretty simple. But you see that word but is the trigger that essentially tells you, okay, this is going to be an opposite. This is an antithetical parallelism. Look at verse number 12. Now, we all have to be careful of this. All of us. You can't take half a verse and preach your opinion on that half a verse. You have to read the entire verse. You have to get the entire proverb. You have to understand the entire context. You can't just take half a verse and then just run with it. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 12. Love covereth all sins. Now that's what I'm talking about. Love doesn't cover all sins. I can't take half of that verse and then preach love covers all sins, because love doesn't cover all sins. What does this verse say? It says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but, there's our trigger word, the contrast, love covereth all sins. Look, Christ doesn't overlook sin, so you can't just say love covereth all sins. You have to read the entire verse. Love deals with sin. Love confronts sin. Jesus loves that woman at the well, right? What did he do? He confronted her with her sin. Jesus, when he met that woman in the well, he called her sin, sin. He didn't cover it. So what is this talking about? Well, let's read the proverb again. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In difficult situations, love is brought in to deal with that situation properly. You don't look at a difficult situation and bring hatred into it. You look at the difficult situation and you bring an attitude of love to deal with problems resulting from sin. Okay, we got a problem. There's a sin problem. Something's going wrong. What do we do? Well, hatred, if we bring it into that, is going to stir the whole thing up. So what do we bring into that? An attitude of love, and that's going to help the person with their problem. Hatred creates more problems. That's what this proverb's teaching. Love seeks to correct sin with compassion. Have you ever been around or seen or been guilty of trying to correct something, but you're using a bad attitude about it? Okay, so that's what we're talking about here. Love wants to help, not hurt, and love wants to please God, not please the establishment. Do you love me? So if I have a problem, you don't side dish it. Because if you love me, you would come to me and you would talk to me about what you need to talk to me about, right? And if you come with an attitude of hatred, you think that's going to help me? Not going to help me. You think that's going to help you? Not going to help you. So how we approach people matters. All right, so I think we understand that. Go back to Proverbs 1 and we'll get back on course here. There's a third type of parallelism. And we see this in Proverbs chapter number 1, which is where we need to pick up in verse number 5. And this is called synonymous parallelism. A synonym is a word that means the same. All of you that are in school know this. You restate the same idea, but you use a different idea, different thought, different words, but essentially the same thought is being restated. You ever hear of a child caught on repeat? This is the idea behind this type of proverb. The Lord is repeating, so we get it. We hear it again and again. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 is where we left off last time, and it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So you see that first clause, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. The same basic thought is expressed in the second clause. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. A person with wisdom seeks to gain learning and understanding and wise counsels. It's the wise man in the first clause is synonymous with what term in the second clause? A wise man will hear, that's the first clause, and will increase in learning. In that second clause, what is synonymous with the wise man? A man of understanding. So there's your synonymous parallelism. Okay, look at increased learning. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. That's the first clause. What is synonymous to increase learning in the second clause? Attain unto wise counsel. You see that? First clause and second clause. Same idea, same thought. It's expressed differently. It's a way of repeating. So when you see this in the book of Proverbs, especially in this one since we're here, that second clause reinforces the first clause. Look at this in verse number 5. A wise man will hear. The text assumes that you and I as Christians will hear. It's assumed. If you will hear, what does God say will happen? Well, you will increase in learning. You will attain unto wise counsel. You will understand the proverbs. You will understand the interpretations. You will understand the dark sayings of the wise. And if you're not increasing and attaining unto these things, would we be wise men or foolish men? We'd be foolish. Okay? But it is assumed. Are you saved? The Proverbs assume you will hear. Amen and amen. So a wise man listens to wise counsel. Does everybody have something to say? Does everybody assume that what they have to say is wise? So everybody's going to tell you it's wise counsel. Just turn on the news media, you can see black and white on whatever channel you turn on. It's like they're both claiming, yeah, we've got the answer. So it's, if we don't have wise counsel, we can't be guaranteed that the ship is going to be steered in the direction that the Lord would want it steered. Everyone will tell you, yeah, this is wise. If you are saved, which most of us are, I'm assuming here this afternoon, it's great, we're learning a lot of doctrine from the Bible, but beyond salvation, I'm telling you, I think Proverbs is one of the most important books to understand, because having wisdom to live a Christian life is so vitally important. I would say it's more important, at least in my opinion, than rightly dividing eschatology in the end times. I mean, I'm a big proponent of all that, but how is that going to help me in the midst of just life down here? I know the way that I think about end times will direct the way I live my life and how I view the world, but these Proverbs are going to help me in the midst of something realize, is this wise counsel or is this just lip service? Proverbs 11 says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Well, a lot of people have the wrong counselors. I have been given wrong counsel. Not only have I been given wrong counsel, but because of that wrong counsel, I believe that it was wise, and I gave that same counsel to someone else. I became an unwise counselor. Because just because someone says they're a Christian, or just because someone says, that doesn't mean the counsel they give you is going to be wise. So if there's safety in a multitude of counselors, and Proverbs 5 tells us we need to attain unto wise counsel, what do you think would happen if you have a multitude of unwise counselors? That ship's going to sink. It's going to sink. We have too many people that have self-proclaimed themselves wise. So because of that, we recognize that and we say, okay, I don't want to be foolish and listen to foolishness. Do you believe that there should be no respecter of persons? You're here for 7 years since we started, and all of a sudden I start saying things like, man comes from monkeys. Let's worship around a tree. Well, you like me, I would hope. You've been here for 7 years. You trust me. You have put confidence in me. But now all of a sudden I'm saying, well, let's hold hands around a tree and let's worship nature. Now that's a foolish thing. And you have to understand Proverbs so that if I start going wacky with monkey stuff and evolution, that you say, no, that's foolish and unwise. I'm not going to listen to that counsel, even though I love you and I like you and I respect you and none of that changes. I'm just not going down that road. Does that make sense? We get comfortable with people and we assume everything that they say is wise. And people ask me for help. I tell them, I can't help you. I have a book that I believe is all the answers that can help you. I don't have all the answers. I'm going to try with you. I'll dig. I'll bring my shovel. You bring your shovel. And we'll both dig in here. And I know this will always be right, but I'm not always right. And so if we always go back to the Bible and we always, always side with the Bible, not the opinion of the preacher who you like, who has a Bible and makes stuff up as he goes. Because there's a lot of stuff you can preach that isn't true. And when you ask someone, hey, can you show me that in the Bible? They can't show you it in the Bible. But it's true. Because they have a principle in their head and they make that principle fit the Bible. And it, okay, I'm not going down that road. I want to know what the Bible says, and so do you. Why? Because I want to be protected, and I know you want to be protected against foolish counsel. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Learning takes time. A foolish man quits. He's got all of his excuses. A wise man stays with it. A wise man is strong enough to not give in to the pressure when he sees something and people are telling him to back away from it, but he knows it's wrong. He's not going to give in to the pressure. He's going to increase his learnings and he's going to stick with it. He's not going to quit. And he's convicted about that. He wants the truth. And he's not afraid to ask questions. Anybody at any time can come and ask me a question. I don't care if you've been here for 7 years. I don't care if you've been here for 7 days. You can come ask me a question. I would prefer to not get worn out, but if I have to get worn out to get your question answered, then wear me out. I'm nobody. This book is about a person who's somebody. Well, it takes too much time, it's too tough, it's too hard to figure out. Just ask. Increase your learnings. Here's what a foolish man does. He's stubborn, and he refuses to learn more. He refuses to see the other side. He refuses to see the person's perspective. He strips the person of their humanity, and he always makes it about something else. They're worn out about something and they're sharing something with you. And instead of increasing your learning to just learn where they're at and understand where they're at and show some compassion to what they've been through, we tend to shut that down and we fire back with, well, you did this wrong and you do this wrong and you thought about this wrong. And well, that's great. Maybe I did. But right now I'm just kind of hurting about this. Can you just kind of learn and understand where I'm at? That's a wise man. You see, I don't have to agree with my wife if she comes to me about something. What I have to do is listen to her and understand what she's saying. I don't have to agree. But I can't agree or even disagree if I don't have enough information to understand what she's going through. You got to have enough information to agree or disagree. It's like someone says, no, I don't need that. Why? I don't like it. I said, what do you mean you don't like it? You don't even know what it's about. In other words, it's the same thing with us. If we're going to counsel someone, we can't say we're for them or against them until we understand what in the world's going on in their heart. Ask questions. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We do attain an increase in sometimes bad things and sometimes good things. Proverbs wants us to attain unto spiritual things. And we get stuck. You stand up and it's like your head hits the ceiling, you know? You try to go this way and you kind of like you hit a wall. It's like you're stuck. Maybe because we attain, as Americans, we just attain, I mean, sometimes good things, but not enough spiritual things. And so we just hit a ceiling. We hit a wall and we get stuck. God wants us to help us break through that and attain some more spiritual things. If we talked about this morning, if my wife can sit down and talk for 20 minutes without referring to notes about chickens, which, believe me, she can. That's a good thing. Chickens this, chicken, they got chickens all over the place. That's a good thing. But she knows it's not a spiritual thing. So if she can only do that, but can't sit down for 20 minutes and talk to somebody about spiritual things with no notes, that means she has, or you have, or I have, attained to some good things, but we have failed to attain to some spiritual things. You know, if I go to work with David tomorrow, and on the construction site, he says, well, Brother Jimmy, grab this drywall hammer, because we're going to be drywalling today. Well, I don't see the big deal. I got my claw hammer right here. I mean, I don't see the big deal. Like, what's your problem? I got this claw hammer. It just worked just as good. Okay, well, I've been doing this for 10 years. You've been not doing this at all. And this is the proper hammer to use for this job. So just kind of get in line and follow along with what we're doing. Grab that hammer. What are you, some type of legalist? Well, no, I just want the job to be done right. And that's a lot of Christians. Hey, can I talk to you about a spiritual matter? And they lose it. You could talk to me about construction all day long. This tool versus that tool, and man, it just rolls right off your tongue. But as soon as a spiritual matter comes up, it's like, well, what's your problem? What, are you some type of legalist? Well, no, I'm trying to help us attain to more spiritual things. And people just get so offended. I'm going to go to work with Will tomorrow, and I'm going to say, I got my Sawzall. We just use that for the operation. It's like, you can't know. No, this isn't Sawzall surgery. We have a specific way. This is the way it's done. Well, what are you, just some type of legalist? No, I don't want the patient to die. And because wisdom is so important, I don't want you, and you don't want me, you don't want our lives dying spiritually. You want there to be growth. And so we have to attain to these spiritual things. We have to be willing to have these tough conversations so that we can emerge stronger and better. If you were to become a lawyer, you need 7 years of learning and attaining. If you're going to become a surgeon, you need what? 12 to 15 years of learning and attaining. We got the book of Proverbs for spiritual attainment. It's going to take work. And you become a surgeon in 12 years because you're what? Dedicated and committed to your craft. We need to be dedicated and committed to our craft. I love Philippians 3:8. But I can't apply Philippians 3:8 to every problem in every situation. I have to attain to more things. I'm for open-air preaching, but I have to have more than just standing on a street corner yelling, Jesus saves. You have to have more than that. Can you actually talk to the person? You understand? We have to attain to more spiritual things and grow. We have to look, our spiritual walk has to be better than just insulting someone or calling them a name when they disagree with us. That is not wisdom. And that is not wise counsel. That is not something I want to and you want to attain to. All right, let's look at verse number 6. We'll do one more verse here. It says, Proverbs 1:6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. This isn't the Enneagrams and the occultism that's coming into churches. It's not that. Dark sayings aren't that. The dark sayings aren't evil or sinister, like scary things. But it says, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So these are words from wise people, and these wise people have dark sayings. They're deep, like dark, like deep, like in the water deep. It gets darker as you go down there. The psalmist wrote, I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Psalm 49:4. The psalmist said in Psalm 78:2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. These dark sayings are like hidden treasures that need to be dug up. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Kids, it's like a puzzle that needs to be solved. You got wisdom, and it's gift wrapped, and the dark saying is you unwrap it, and man, you got it. You got it figured out. Jesus spoke in parables, right? In Matthew 13, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed. Now, that wasn't about gardening, was it? But Jesus taught a spiritual truth that was gift-wrapped about gardening. But it was a lot deeper than gardening. Here's one. I'm sure Caroline and Danny would recognize this, and Roger and Tony. Scott, probably most of the adults here. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You heard that one? Now, that's not a parable of Jesus. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. It's also not about birds. But it's a proverb. It's a maxim. It's a dark saying. It's better to be content with what you have, a bird in the hand, than risk losing everything by having to seek more. It's about being grateful for what you have, not being greedy. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And so that's an old, old, old saying that you got to think about it. You got to dig to get it. I searched one because my kids like to write or tell me jokes and see if I can figure them out. Parents, do your kids do that? Yeah. So here, I got one for you kids, my kids and all the other youngins. Here it is. Here's the dark saying. What has roots that nobody sees?
Trees.
Hey, I'm not done. What has roots that nobody sees is taller than trees. Up, up it goes and yet never grows. Was that what you were going to say? What's your answer?
I thought it was, so,
where seeds. No, it was actually a mountain. What has roots that nobody sees is taller than trees, up, up it goes, and yet never grows. The answer is a mountain. A mountain. You might have better ones, but that's the one I found. Huh? Apparently, that's what that's the riddle I found. Who's got, anybody got another one? You got 100 of them, you tell me all the time. Hey, figure this out. You got one?
I have a joke.
Is it a long one? Oh, go ahead, kid.
Knock, knock.
Oh, no, who's there?
Matthew.
Matthew who?
What's
it, Matthew, with you? Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, look, that's more of a joke. But look, you take a riddle, and what do you got to do? You got to ponder on it. You got to think about it. You got to dig to figure it out. And so you may have some better ones than I do. But look, a dark saying from somebody that's wise is a saying that'll make you think. Because God wants us to engage our minds. He doesn't. It's great we memorize verses and we memorize facts, but a dark saying is meant to engage your mind. It's a teacher who asks questions rather than just give the answer out, right? A dark saying is something that sticks in your memory. Whether you hear a stupid riddle like you kids think mine was, you won't forget it, or whether you got one that's good, what happens is you remember it. Once you grab it, it sticks in your memory, and it's something that you remember the lesson because you had to think about it and you had to work for it. That's a dark saying. It reveals your heart, essentially, because there'll be people that'll dig for the truth. You know, you give somebody a riddle and you say, hey, figure this out. Well, the person that's going to dig is going to try to figure it out. The person that's just, I'm not interested, they'll just leave it alone and they'll walk away. They don't care. So God's not trying to confuse anybody with dark sayings, But he does desire that we think deeper and we seek him more earnestly. So why is it a dark saying? Well, it's hidden under the shadow until you dig enough to get it, and then that light illuminates it, and it's not dark anymore. But it's going to make you think. That's what everyone should get from Pilgrim Baptist. We should be the church where, hey, you might not get it at first hand, you might not agree with, and that's okay, but are you digging? Are you digging? That's it, Proverbs 1, verse 5 and 6. I'll close with a few thoughts. Number one, young people, the book of Proverbs is a book for you. You can have biblical wisdom. And you can be a young man or a young woman that can discern truth. You can hear philosophies, naturalistic ideas. You can hear all that and you can discern even something that might even be a doctrine of the devil. You can discern because you're in this book. Solomon, the Holy Spirit authored Proverbs through Solomon. Anybody want to guess how old he was when he became king? Approximately? About 20. Bible doesn't tell us for sure. It's approximately around 20 years of age. Now, how many 20-year-olds do you know that are wise? Let me just put it to you this way. If we did have to go to war, I would want the 20-year-olds from 1945 fighting for us. Let's put it that way. I think we've kind of lost something along the... Can we bring those guys back? Because the 20-year-olds I see walking around, I'm like, I feel like I can whoop them. It's like, come on, fellas. Like, you can be a young person that's got some wisdom. You remember how old Josiah was when he became king? Eight years old. Young people can not only learn to be wise, you can be wise. You can possess the simple practical truths. But you know what? You know what, young people? I can't force you to attain and gather learnings and understandings. And you know what? Milani, your parents can't force it on you. Hannah, your parents can't force you. Wisdom's available, but you have to want to attain it. You've got to want to get some more out of it. What did I say in the beginning in verse 5? A wise man will hear. The proverb assumes that you will hear. If you will hear, that assumes a posture of humility and a posture of submission. Wise counsel. I wrote this down because it's very important and I don't want you to miss it. Unwise counsel and false teachers will cover up sin, not call sin sin. Well, they'll call your sin sin. They won't call their sin sin. And they will use false wisdom, false humility, false submission as a cloak to hide what's going on in their wicked and wrong heart. That is not wisdom. And I want us to be wise enough and strong enough to be able to discern that and see that if it rears its ugly head. We need to be wise to guard against that. Three kinds of people. Young people, there's three types of kids in school. Three types of people. Everybody say, the dropouts. The dropouts. A little bit louder. The dropouts. The dropouts. You know who the dropouts are? The ones who just stop learning from God. Don't be a dropout. If you are a dropout, here's the invitation. Come back to school. Okay? But there are some people who are dropouts. Invite them back. Come back to school. Get in the book of Proverbs. The second kind of student is the same kind of people, second kind of person, is the struggling student. Young people, let me hear you say that. The struggling student.
The struggling student.
There's just students that they're having a tough time. Look, they've got some trouble, but at least they're in class. Praise the Lord that they showed up for class. You know what the invitation is? Just trust and allow the Lord to teach you His ways. You're in class, great. Now just dive deeper into allowing the Lord to teach you, because He will. What's the last type of student? He's not a dropout. He's not a struggling student. You know what he is? He's honor roll. He's the honor roll student. The honor roll student is the one who's learning and growing. But here's the problem with the honor roll student. They want to graduate themselves before God graduates them. The honor roll student needs the warning, you're not graduating until God calls you home to heaven. So allow the Lord to do that, because graduation day has not arrived for any of us. Amen. So we need to keep learning and gaining wisdom, because God is still teaching. One book to master for life's problems and to avoid unwise counselors is this book of Proverbs. It'll help you understand human nature better than the psychologists and the self-help gurus would. And it'll also help you avoid the counsel of the ungodly, which none of us want.